Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because of the deep runs of the Warriors and the Sharks, it's taken us a while to turn that page. When we do, we're going to be very happy. Keith Law is there reading along with us. He is one of my favorite baseball voices out there, and we're happy to talk to him here on 95.7 The Game. Madison Bumgarner, a tough luck loser yesterday, Keith. But boy, the Giants have really been streaking in the right direction for a team that's got back of the rotation issues, injury issues popping up seemingly every week. They've done not just a good job maintaining, they're playing real good baseball despite everything that's happening around them.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think, one, it speaks to the depth of the roster, that this is not a club where it's not a Kershaw rotation where if he's not pitching, you're rather concerned about your chances to win that night. It's not a lineup, like I would point to Arizona's, where it really runs through just about two guys at this point. San Francisco has never really built their team that way, and I agree. They've got back of the rotation issues. They've got injury issues. There's a little bit of a shortage of power in that lineup right now that I think we've even talked about. You'd like to see them address. But they continue to play well. Actually, you know, I'd say they've been playing their best baseball so far this season. Maybe a little bit of that is the schedule, but honestly, this is just kind of how the team is constructed now and has been constructed over the last five, six seasons.
27-9 over their last 36 games. Wow. It's one of their coming off the best 35-game stretch since the 1954 World Series, and it's happened very much under the radar. And again, with their backs up against it in some areas, the fact that all this is happening without Hunter Pence, who I think is, you know, one of the straw that stirs the drinks Giants, I guess is impressive. Bobby Evans, I think, has got all the room to be patient up into the deadline. What do you think he's most worried about or doing? I mean, it seems like everyone should be getting healthy. Like, you don't need to make a move now that Duffy's hurt. He'll be back in a couple weeks. So what will the move be?
And I don't think, unless we find out Pence is gone for the season, no chance that he's returning at any point. I don't think you do anything with the lineup. I think the lineup when fully healthy, you know, there's a chance, pretty good chance you'll get everybody back on the field at the same time before the summer's out. You get everybody out there, this lineup's going to be fine. It's going to be probably average to a little above average offensively. And that should be good enough for the front of the rotation, should be good enough with the bullpen, although they'll always make a move for bullpen depth just because I think that's typically how they operate. You got to address the last two spots maybe in the rotation. That's tricky. There's not... I feel like I'm turning into a broken record already. We're not even out of June. The trade deadline market right now is not great. You don't have a lot of teams that are clearly sellers. Some of the teams that are clearly sellers have already kind of strip-mined the roster. The Phillies do not have a lot left on the Major League roster that they could trade. Atlanta really has Julio Teheran, and that's probably it of players they would trade that would have value to a contender, that is. So all the more reason, I think, for Bobby Evans to take advantage of the situation, the standings, be patient, wait and see if a couple more teams fall out of the race, because they've generally not overpaid for in-season acquisitions. Other than the Zach Wheeler deal, really none of them has come at a particularly high price. You're going to pay something for a good rental, but they've always managed to sort of play in the right end of the market to not overpay in terms of prospects. And I would be shocked if they made any kind of panicky move to do that if this seller's market doesn't materialize.
Keith Law, 95.7 The Game. The A's about to make Sonny Gray available?
I think they would listen, which is not the same as saying he's available, right? You want to call?
Sure.
Have the conversation? Make us an offer? Yes. Could Boston put something together to pry him loose? Absolutely. Could the Cubs? Yes. I don't think they would, because I think they're happy enough with their rotation. I don't know what they would feel about trading within the division, but I think Billy Bean's pretty pragmatic and would probably say to Texas, which is loaded with high-end prospects, guys who are fairly close to the big leagues, we'll talk. Price might be a little higher for you, but we're willing to make a deal within the division if we think it makes our club better. I just think it's the right thing for the A's to listen. And if you don't get an offer you love, you wait until the offseason. You do have the luxury of time with him. And if he has a great second half, his trade value could easily be higher in November and December than it is in July.
Six innings, four hits, an earned run, two walks, two strikeouts. I don't know if Tim Lincecum's all the way back, but he looked pretty good in his return.
Yeah, I think this is what he's going to be. And he's going to have outings where it's three and a third, and it's nine hits, and it's a bunch of runs, and probably not a lot of walks. That's the one thing that it seemed like he was around the plate a lot. He's not going to miss many bats. And, you know, you saw him the last couple of years there. His ability to miss bats is what kind of got him eventually drawn out of the organization. And I don't think that stuff has really returned. The velocity still isn't close to what it was even, I'd say, two, 3 years ago, let alone what it was at peak freak. Could he help the Angels going forward? They don't have a lot of other options at the back of the rotation. So he's going to get a pretty long look. And unless he starts getting absolutely bombed, my guess is he'll spend the rest of the summer at their number five.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the decision to say goodbye to Jose Reyes in Colorado and eat $40 million guaranteed dollars, essentially, over a domestic violence issue that pretty much happened before he even got to Colorado. And now, I'm not naive. Trevor Story is a big reason why they made that choice. But that's a big, big, big chunk of change for a mid-market team to swallow like that. I know you're a very conscientious guy, but in the world of baseball, did they make a good decision?
Setting aside my feelings on domestic violence, which, you know, for listeners who haven't seen me talk about it on Twitter, I have no problem if Jose Reyes never plays another major league game. I don't need these guys in the sport. Thinking strictly baseball, though, I think the problem the Rockies ran into was they really had no place to put Reyes, who cannot play short anymore. Even if he could play third, you've got an all-world third baseman over there. You're going to put him at second when he really can't run. His lateral agility has been compromised. He's not very mobile. We think of Jose Reyes, just the baseball player, leaving the person out of it, as the player he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's not close to that anymore. He really just may not be very good or any good. And that was part of why Buster Olney and I talked about this on the podcast last Thursday. Is that courageous a decision? Are they really taking a moral stand or just saying, this guy wasn't worth the roster spot anyway? We have to pay him no matter what. And by the way, it's better to cut him the $40 million check than double that we were going to end up paying Troy Tulowitzki.
Let's wrap up with maybe the best player in the game right now. And I know that there's not a Giant fan who wants to hear about it, but Clayton Kershaw might be the alpha and omega of all things Major League Baseball. He leads or co-leads in innings, wins, ERA, whip, and strikeout to walk ratio, which is an almost pornographic 20-1. It's all-time stuff here. I mean, we're watching, you know, every now and then you're like, okay, this is the real deal. And like, you see it in Pedro, you saw it in Clemens, mm-hmm. You see it in moments, when Madison Bumgarner pitches, but this guy mm-hmm. really is all to himself unique.
He has strikeout to walk ratio, which is a little bit of a toy stat, but bear with me because this is interesting. I think this is interesting. His strikeout to walk ratio is, like you said, a tick over 20-1. The all-time record for any pitcher who pitched enough to qualify for the ERA title in any full season is about 11.5. So he has a chance to absolutely destroy that.
Right.
We've never seen anyone with that combination of power, stuff, and command. And if you had asked me what's the best combination of power, stuff, and command you'd ever seen, I would have said 99 Pedro, 98, 99, 2000 Pedro. That was probably the best brief stretch of pitching I've personally ever witnessed. And statistically, it held up. And Kershaw's half season so far is better, unequivocally better than that. That's how amazing this half season has been.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think we agree that Bryce Harper is about as dangerous plate appearances you're going to see in Major League Baseball. What is it now? Harper is, I wrote this down last night, Harper is 1-for-15 with 10 strikeouts in his career off of Kershaw.
Yeah. But he's got to see that breaking ball in his nightmares.
I think everyone who plays baseball does. Keith, always appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you. Keith Law here on 95.7 The Game. One of the smartest guys talking baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.